This past week, Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel presented a plan which calls for large cuts to the structure and troop numbers of the U.S. military while shifting a greater focus to warfare technology. And on the surface, this plan appears to some as a drastic change, which they claim will result in a weaker military. Here are the detailed look is Washington reporter for The Nation, whose work has also been featured in places including The Washington Post, Los Angeles Times, George Zornick. Good morning, George.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And it's thenation.com for, of course, The Nation publication, all the great work that they do. And, you know, that really is true, George. The way this whole story was presented, I just pulled up one headline here. Pentagon plans to shrink Army to pre-World War II level. If you read nothing more than that, yeah, it's going to shake you up pretty good. But if you look at what was already on the timetable as far as troop strength and what some of the tools of the trade, the U-2, for example, I mean, there's some ancient tools that the military is still using that is long overdue for the mothballs. So generally speaking, when you look at the details, a good amount of this would probably make sense to people.
Sure. I mean, some of it is rational. I think if you're a person who wants the Pentagon budget reduced, this is a good first step or a good down payment, but certainly not comprehensive, and will certainly leave the United States with a military budget that's probably much too big, and it's still going to crowd out a lot of important domestic priorities. There's no doubt that bringing the troop levels down makes a lot of sense, given that we are soon not going to be fighting any wars, as opposed to two lengthy occupations. But the shift to weapons technology, if you're a person who doesn't want to see all these expensive weapon systems, you probably would not be heartened by this announcement. And in fact, the day that it was made, the stocks of every major defense contractor went up, not down. So that tells you a lot of what you need to know.
Although thinking of in a military sense, the one way that you can, again, theoretically, maintain superiority while lowering the human bodies in the equation is to ratchet up yourself with technology, because certainly I can't think of any hostile force out there that could follow suit with that.
No, right, exactly. I mean, in some sense, there's still 440,000 troops, which is the level that they want to go down to within 3 years, 2 years, excuse me, is quite a bit of troops. And the rationale is that, well, no matter what kind of expensive technology you have to be able to kind of engage in, like, urban warfare, go block to block. And that's just something that we don't, unless you level this whole city, is something we don't really have the technology to do. But, you know, I mean, that's still, comparatively speaking, much, much more than any other country would have, and would still be, you know, a theoretical deterrent to bad actors.
The one point of concern, and this is something that I think it probably started during the Clinton administration, that the ideal military was capable of fighting two wars at one time. And some are saying that if you look at a troop strength of 440 to 450,000, some even want to take it further, saying if sequestration kicks in for the next sweep, that number could go down to as low as 410, 420. That puts into question even if one war is fightable.
Right, exactly. And you've seen people, I think it was Dick Cheney who said the other day, was on the Sunday shows and was kind of bashing this proposal as being unable to fight multiple occupations at the same time. You could probably fight multiple wars, but not ones that required, a prolonged sort of presence. Frankly, I think you can carry that logic to infinity. I mean, you know, and if you're one that's going to score political points, you can always say, well, we're only capable of fighting two, not three, only three. You know, what if there's a world war? So, you know, for the people who want to score points, the folks like Cheney and McCain, there'll always be something to complain about.
Talking with George Zornick, who is one of the Washington reporters for The Nation. He's also been featured in The Washington Post and Los Angeles Times, among many other places, thenation.com and the web. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. I guess the third rail of all this is it's in the talking stages. It's been put down on for what we consider pen to paper nowadays in this high-tech age. However, we are in the midterm election season. And, you know, maybe, you know, you being in D.C. might be more have more expertise on this. I can't think of one single politician who is running for re-election that would want to say, hey, I've got an idea. Let's close a military base in my district.
Yeah, right. You know, it's one of those things where actually you see a lot of people on both sides of the aisle, the Tea Party types, and, of course, the progressives who've long held this position that the military budget is too big, but it definitely is a not in my backyard sort of thing, where when the Pentagon says, okay, we'd like to close these bases or stop making this particular piece of technology, and it's made in a member of Congress's district, and then all of a sudden they go to the trenches, and they could be, you know, a deep blue liberal or a deep red conservative, and they're still going to fight for jobs that are in their district, which there's some rationality to, but, you know, it makes it a lot harder. I mean, there are weapon systems that the Pentagon explicitly has said they don't need. And then, of course, the senator in the place that makes them says, oh, no, yes, you do. And they pass the appropriation and they have to get built. So it's kind of a crazy way to do it, but that is the way they do it.
We do have to say, too, that the Hagel proposals to this point at least have the endorsement of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, which, yes, when it comes to military, those are better minds than most of us possess. The concerns with the, as far as the human side of the equation is, the Garden Reserves, these, if I understand the plan right, only because it's a higher cost there, and that's something, too, as you alluded to as well, that some of this is brought about because of the rising cost of social programs, for example. But the Garden Reserves training would be either amended or diluted, even some would say. And another concern is, once you reduce troop strength in this modern day and age, should an emergency arise, what handy tool do you have to return a troop strength? It's, you know, you wish of, you know, the spirit of volunteerism would just be there should need arise. But much like some people are saying with certain professions in our modern age, that it's discouraging for people to go study to go into that specific industry. If people are seeing a reduction of the Army, which used to afford people college education, things like that, are they going to be less likely to say, hey, that's a good idea, I'll enlist?
Yeah, I mean, what we've seen them do in the past, and certainly even what they did in the last decade when they needed more troops to carry out the two wars, is that they would beef up the incentives. So they'd say, you know, they'd bump up the salaries and the signing bonuses and you know, the health care, the pension benefits and things like that. And that's actually how they've gotten into a bit of trouble now, because they made some of those offers so generous that people joined, and a lot of people joined, and now the healthcare and pension costs for the Army are almost by any measure kind of excessive and are starting to crowd out other budget priorities. Now, that's not to say I think they should be cut, because if you know, create these incentives and ask people to put their lives on the line in exchange for them, you can't come around on the back end, in my opinion, and say, oh, actually, we can't really afford that, but thanks for your service. But it is certainly a problem, and they're going to have to deal with that. And if there is, you know, God forbid, another instance where they need to recruit people, they're going to have to expand those benefits even further, and it's going to crowd out the budget even further.
Wrapping things up here, how much, with George Zornick from The Nation, how much of this is one of many, I know, wake-up calls for Congress, because this is under sequestration, otherwise known as Bipartisan Budget Act, and this is just one sweep at the pen. This could happen all over again in 2016 if Congress doesn't get together with the White House and do something on their own in a more controlled, targeted means of financial practice and either reduction or expansion, depending on the area. And sequestration kicks in again 2016. Then we could get the elements of the military into indeed a very danger zone.
Yeah, you know, as you know, the Ryan Murray budget agreement that just passed eased some of the tension of sequestration on the military, and it eased it equally between military and domestic priorities. I think a lot of people hope that by 2016, the sequester will just sort of, in some way, go by the wayside. It'll just get rid of the whole thing, because people on the right don't like it. Well, some do, but many, certainly military hawks, don't like it. No one on the left has ever really liked it. It was something that was sort of attached to policy, attached to a particular place and time back in 2011, and something that hopefully by 2016, politicians will just say, you know what, this is a really silly way to do budgeting. Let's either get rid of it or ameliorate it considerably.
You read his work along with the other great journalists and authors at thenation.com. He is one of their Washington reporters for The Nation, George Zornick. George, thanks for your insight into some of the craziness that goes on down there and some of the reasons behind what we see up here. And thanks for being here this morning.
Thanks for having me.